It is Thursday, July 13th. This is the Christian Commute. You're riding home with your host, Seth Dunn, straight home. No errands to run that I know of. But, you know, my wife could text me. Another late day at work, another late day after work, working with the Hebrew, but the light is at the end of the tunnel. The only question is, am I going to have to turn around and go back to the start of the tunnel? Because my grade ain't that good. We'll see. I did not an audible on the show topic, but I definitely changed the game plan of the show topic after the day began, just a few minutes ago. I was planning to do a show topic called Off the Record, but I kicked it back. Now I'm going to do a show topic called The Message and Money. The Message and Money. And I'll get to that show topic after I do the Bible chapter review. But not after I do the Christian Commute inbox, because the Christian Commute inbox is empty. That's right, there is nothing in the Christian Commute inbox. Nobody out there in commuter land apparently needs theological roadside assistance right now. But if you do need theological roadside assistance, you need to write me, SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. That is the Christian Commute inbox. And today is going to be a tough show because my sticky note has fallen off the steering wheel 3 times. Some sticky notes are better than others. I left the sticky note from Thursday's show on the steering wheel all the way to Monday and it didn't fall off. This thing's fallen off 3 times, so who knows the reasons why. So I'm going to stick it to my finger where I can hold it and get going on the Bible chapter review. Today's Bible chapter review comes from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. And those of you who read along with me are probably thinking, Seth, shouldn't the Bible chapter review come from 2 Corinthians 7 through 10? Wouldn't that make it more cohesive? And the answer to that's yes, but I ran out of space on my sticky note, and I've run out of space in my mind a long time ago. So I may just do verse 10 by itself tomorrow, or do it with verse 11. We'll see. Hopefully we'll get to that episode of the Christian Commute. Let's worry about this one for now. By the way, you guys have noticed that you got shorted one show this week. It's because I went to the doctor on Tuesday, so I did not commute. I work from home. I don't know if I mentioned that. Now let's get into the Bible chapter review. Because of the surpassing glory of the revelations that Paul received from the Lord, he was given a thorn in the flesh. So to prevent Paul from being, uppity or arrogant or having confidence in himself, he was giving a thorn in the flesh. He says, because of the surpassing greatness of these revelations, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. So this verse is very clear. Paul received surpassingly great revelation from God. And when you're getting revelation from God, you may begin to think of yourself as an uber-Christian, like we talked about yesterday. So the Apostle Paul, he's got apostolic authority, he's a chosen instrument of God, he's given revelations. He might think of how strong he is. But it's not from his strength that he's receiving these revelations from God. It's from God's strength. So Paul is given something to debilitate him. A messenger of Satan sent to torment him. A thorn in the flesh, he says. Now, there is an argument among biblical scholars, like, what is this thorn in the flesh? Did God give him a physical ailment? No one literally believes it's a thorn stuck in his hand, by the way. I don't think there's anybody out there who's like, yeah, Paul was picking roses and a thorn got stuck in his skin and it got buried up under there and he was always thinking of that pain. That's what it was, a thorn in the flesh. No, a thorn in the flesh is just a way of saying something making him uncomfortable and causing him pain. Like, you ever get a splinter and you get it under your skin and it hurts. When I was little, I'd get a splinter. My dad would get it out with a pocket knife. And I was, oh no, he's going to give me the pocket knife. But when you get something under your skin like that, you get poked by something, ugh, it torments you. So he's got a thorn in the flesh. So something is tormenting him. And some people like to think, well, what kind of physical ailment is it? Was it his eye problem? Because people theorized Paul had bad vision or an eye problem. But he says it's a messenger from Satan sent to torment him. Now the word there for messenger, angelos, sometimes it means messenger, sometimes it means angel. So this seems like a spiritual being sent from the accuser. All right, hold on. Let me focus on not getting killed here. Okay, white expedition. Guess what, guys? There is a white automobile from the state of Florida jacking things up on the road for me. And now he's getting over in the middle lane. That's right, Floridian. Get over in your white old person Florida car and get out of my way. Jason Anderson, I don't know how you deal with these drivers, but I guess if you were in Florida every day, you'd be used to everybody being a bad driver. Now that the horrible driver, this messenger of Florida sent to torment me, has gotten in the middle lane and I can pass, let me continue. So angelos, the word here, messenger, or an angel of Satan, or an angel from Satan. So this has all the description of a demon sent to torment Paul. And Paul asked God to take the torment away from him. He asked three times. Now, that's just like a random number. Like, well, I asked once, and then I asked again. And then I thought, how about three times? But I didn't decide four. He asked him three times. So that's like in the olden days. You got married by saying, I marry you, I marry you, I marry you. Like, saying something three times is like, I really mean it. That's why I said it three times. So that's, I think that's the significance of three here. Yeah. So Paul asked God earnestly and sincerely, remove this torment from me. And what did God say? God said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for strength is perfected in weakness. Strength is perfected in weakness. In Paul's weakness, he's being tormented. But if he can find any strength, it's in the grace of God. So it's almost like God built him up with a revelation, but then God broke him down with the torment sent from Satan that's been given to him, and God's saying, I'm not going to take away this messenger from Satan. You need to focus on my grace as your strength, because the only strength you have in your weakness is me. That's what God is saying there, more or less. I'm going to say I got another Yankee in front of me going slow. And you said, Seth, what do you mean? You just said Florida. People from Florida aren't Yankees. Yes, they are. Snowbirds. This guy's from Michigan. Going very slow. Not in the proper way. Now he's, goodness, get over to the other lane. So Paul says that if he's going to boast, he's going to boast in his weakness. So all of these things he's been boasting about here, and we'll cover this in the next Bible chapter even more deeply. All of these things that he's done to serve Christ, the revelations he's seen from God, they don't serve to build him up, but they serve to give him a focus in his weakness, that they're from God, and what strength he has is from God. The grace of God is sufficient. So Paul's going to boast in his own weakness, because when you're boasting in your own weakness, it means the only strength you have is from outside of you, from God. So I hope you guys will take that to heart, not only in the context of what's happening with Paul, but in your own lives, focusing on the grace of God, which should be sufficient for you no matter what is going through and no matter with whom you are going through it. Look at me, I didn't end my sentence in the preposition. Now let's end the Bible chapter review right there. I timed that pretty well. I like to end it when I pass Adairsville. Now let's begin the show topic, ending the Bible chapter for there, for now. For there, right now. I bragged about using prepositions, and now look at me. I messed it up, and I'm mispronouncing things. What is wrong with me? I hope I'm not having a complicated migraine. I got a complicated migraine one time, and I was in the hospital for 3 days because they thought I was having a stroke. I think I've told this story on the show before. And turns out just part of my brain shut down, so I couldn't speak right. So let's power through whatever is ailing me here and get to today's show topic, which is the message and money. Is it the message of money or the message of... No, it's the message and money. All right. You guys out there may be familiar with the book The Message, which is at best a paraphrase of the Bible. And the person who wrote The Message he's still alive. The person who wrote it is a man named Eugene Peterson. He's in his 80s now, I believe, and he is a retired Presbyterian pastor from the PCUSA denomination. Now, that is the Liberal Presbyterians. Now, here's a fun fact for you guys. I want you to keep this in mind. This is real strange. The Presbyterian Church USA, as a denomination, as a church, has moved away from biblical fidelity. They don't have a high view of Scripture. They affirm homosexuality as normative and accepting. You'll find that many of them are pro-choice, okay with abortion. And when you think of Christianity, not only conservative Christianity, but when you think of Christianity, you just wouldn't think Presbyterian Church USA. It's one of these flagging mainline denominations. But for as much as they seem to disdain God's Word and the authority of Scripture, to even be ordained in the Presbyterian Church USA, you have to pass a biblical languages test. So they are serious about their seminary education, and not just any old person can get ordained in the Presbyterian Church. And that goes for the Presbyterian USA and the Presbyterian Church in America, the conservative Presbyterian. Now, we Baptists, anybody who gets a liver shiver and says, "I feel called to preach," the church will lay hands on him, and all of a sudden that guy's a preacher. And people can just start up Baptist church. I'm a Baptist minister now. I'm starting this church. And, you know, some of them are qualified and some of them are not. But, hey, we believe in soul freedom. It's up to the individual congregant to sniff out what's a storefront church and what's not. The PCUSA are not going to have these storefront churches. They are really vetting who's going to be their pastors or who's going to be a pastor from them. And they really have to have a good biblical knowledge. Whether they believe it or not, they have to have a good biblical knowledge. So when I say Eugene Peterson is a Presbyterian pastor, he's somebody who understands biblical languages. Don't get that wrong. He's somebody who understands what the Bible said. Now also, when I say he's a retired Presbyterian Church USA pastor, he's been out of the game, so to speak, for 25 years. So as the denomination has gotten more liberal, he hasn't technically been a part of the clergy, although he's still a Presbyterian. It's not like when pastors retire from being a pastor that they stop going to church. "Well, I'm not preaching anymore, so I'm just going to stay home on Sunday and play golf." No, they still go to church. So he's a Presbyterian Church USA guy. So keep that in mind. So knowing that he's a Presbyterian Church USA guy, him doing anything liberal is not going to surprise you. There was a clever Babylon Bee article about this. I usually don't like the Babylon Bee, but this one is pretty good. It's like three people shocked that Eugene Peterson affirms gay marriage. And that's exactly what he did. Now, I'll get to that. But first, I want to make mention that he wrote The Message. Now, we've talked about Bible translations on the show before. We've talked about formally equivalent translations, like the New American Standard, or the ESV, or the King James Version, that tries to match more literally, word for word, the text in the Hebrew and Greek. We've talked about more functionally equivalent translations, like the New International Version, or on the far end of the spectrum, the New Living Translation, which is barely a Bible translation. But what's not considered a Bible translation is the Message. And it's Eugene Peterson writing the Bible as a paraphrase, not a translation, in modern language. And not modern language in the sense that the NIV or the NLT is written, but just modern language in the sense that just vulgar, not vulgar in the bad way, you know, like a cuss word, but vulgar in like common, the common parlance, almost you could call it street talk. Or he's turning a phrase in the way that, in the Message, that he's trying to communicate some point strongly. As if the Hebrew verb forms that, there's Hebrew verb forms that do this. Like the Hebrew word to kill in the kal verb form just means to kill. But there's another verb form, which one is it? Let's say piel, and that means to massacre. I may be wrong on that verb form. But the same verb, and depending on the aspect and the form you're using it, it means something more. So that's kind of what Eugene Peterson's kind of do. Here's an example. From the Message, or in the Bible, it should say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right, but in the Message, I think it says, and God became man and moved into the neighborhood. Or Jesus became a man and moved into the neighborhood. Like, oh, how cute. So you may have heard preachers, when they want to say something or turn a phrase in a certain way in a Bible verse, they'll say, or as the Message puts it. But no one really no one. I'm sure someone preaches out of the Message, but not faithful pastors do not preach out of the Message. Nor should you use the Message for Bible study. All these paraphrases of Scripture, when it comes down to it, it's really kind of an insult to God's Word. Because it's Eugene Peterson, what he thinks God's Word might mean today, not what it says. Now again, Eugene Peterson is a language scholar. He's a legit pastor. So he could translate from the Hebrew or the Greek. But he chose to translate from the Hebrew into the Greek into the Message. Why? Because we have plenty of translations from people. We don't need a new Bible translation on any end of the spectrum. You've got formally equivalent ones and middle of the road and functionally equivalent ones out there. And you have Bible scholars like someone like N.T. Wright has his own Greek New Testament. I mean, you just don't need another one. So here's a guy with the skill to translate a Bible, but there's no market, so to speak, for some guy's Bible translation. So what does he do? He creates the Message. Simple to read. That's the idea. Oh, this is simple to read. And the Message has sold really well. Oh, does the Bible confuse you in all this language? Here it is. It's Jesus moving into the neighborhood. And so already, anybody should know that the guy who wrote the Message, not really too concerned about the fidelity of Scripture. But we see his economic incentive to write it, and it is a big seller. So the Message becomes a big seller. Eugene Peterson becomes famous. So now that he's written the Message, his other books are going to become more popular. So-and-so book by Eugene Peterson, author of the Message. So now he's in the Christian bookstores. Lifeway. All right. And now he's, you know, hobnobbing with Bono. And I've seen some friends of mine, conservative Baptist friends of mine, namely you, Philip, if you're listening, tweet out Eugene Peterson quotes. Because sometimes he'll tweet out a biblical sounding quote. Oh, Eugene Peterson. Let's listen to Eugene Peterson. Oh, he's a guy to listen to. Let's have Eugene Peterson come speak. Let's read a Eugene Peterson book. But there's this underlying thing like, guys, don't you get it? He's a liberal. He's from the PCUSA. He wrote the Message. Still, it's popular and he's selling books. So he did an interview with Religion News Service. And he told Jonathan Merritt. Now, Jonathan Merritt is a journalist who works for Religion News Service. More importantly, Jonathan Merritt is what we'd call a moderate or liberal Baptist. Someone like from the Conservative Baptist Fellowship. He is the son of ostensibly conservative Baptist James Merritt, former Southern Baptist president, and megachurch pastor down here in Georgia. And Jonathan is a homosexual. I don't know if he's a practicing homosexual, but he's had homosexual episodes. And he kind of, I think he was on Tinder or Grindr or something like that. Somebody like outed him, like, you're supposed to be this Baptist writer, but you're going on homosexual dates with people on the internet. So even though Jonathan Merritt says, you know, I'm not a practicing homosexual, he lives in New York City and he's single, and I'm pretty sure he's still gay. So he, in my opinion, writes from a liberal bent. He's one of these guys who would just love Russell Moore, a more progressive moderate Baptist. So he interviews Eugene Peterson, and he asks him, you know, the PCUSA has affirmed gay marriage, and they'll do gay marriage ceremonies. And remember, gay marriage always goes in quotation marks. And Eugene Peterson says, I think if I were pastoring today, I would perform a gay marriage. I've known some gay people who have a vibrant spiritual life that's just as good as mine. So yeah, I'd absolutely perform a gay marriage. Now, if you want his exact quote, you can read it, but I just gave you a fair paraphrase. So here's the way to get banned at Lifeway. Are you ready for this? Lifeway. Blatantly teach the Word of Faith prosperity gospel. I mean blatantly in a book. All right. Joel Osteen gone. Joyce Meyer gone. They won't sell them at Lifeway. T.D. Jakes, modalist, he gets to stay because he says, nah, man, I'm not a modalist. That he preaches prosperity sometimes, that's okay if it's not in his book. Hey, the Southern Baptist Convention is a bunch of old, dying white people. If we can get black people in to our stores, into Lifeway, let's do it any way we can. Hey, let's sell them some T.D. Jakes books. They'll come if we sell that. Sarah Young, if you pretend to speak for God, to New Age automatic writing mind channel God like Sarah Young, you can write Jesus calling and Jesus always and still be carried in Lifeway. In fact, that's one of the most popular books. So, I mean, they carry all manner of horrible books in Lifeway. John Hagee, Four Blood Moons, they'll carry John Hagee in Lifeway. I mean, he's just a heretic. He's a dual covenant guy. I mean, John Hagee's awful. He's right up there with Joyce Meyer. They carry Beth Moore. They carry Sarah Young. They carry Rick Warren. I mean, they carry all these terrible writers. They will carry your book unless you're blatantly Word of Faith like Joyce Meyer or you affirm homosexuality. If you affirm homosexuality in a positive way, you're gone. Because that very clearly violates the Baptist faith and message. I mean, just in no uncertain terms, you're gone. Jen Hatmaker, she was an incompetent lady theologically who spoke and wrote about Christian things and was basically like a reality TV star from HGTV. So here's somebody who just has no theological business writing things that anyone should read, getting carried in Lifeway. The second she was okay with gay marriage, all of Jen Hatmaker's stuff was gone. Wait a minute. Jen Hatmaker was an incompetent theologian who seemed liberal before. What changed? Well, she actually said out loud gay marriage was okay. Bye-bye, Jen Hatmaker. So Eugene Peterson gives this interview to Jonathan Merritt. The guy's like 85 years old. He gives this interview. Here comes a Baptist Press article. Lifeway's not going to carry this guy anymore. It took a day. Remember, you can speak for Jesus. You can be a oneness Pentecostal like T.D. Jakes. Just say you're not oneness Pentecostal. You can be a scripture picker or twister like Rick Warren. But if you say being gay is okay, you're gone. And that was it for Eugene Peterson at Lifeway. Now, here's the thing. He pulled the T.D. Jakes. It's like, hey, Lifeway, don't sell T.D. Jakes. He's a modalist. Well, hold on. We're going to call T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes, are you a modalist? Oh, no, I'm not a modalist. Okay, thanks. We'll still sell your books. That's what happened with Eugene Peterson. They called Eugene Peterson. Now, this guy gave an interview. you in Religion News Service. It, Jonathan Merritt, for all his problems, nobody thinks he's like a bad reporter who tells lies. He may write stories from a certain bent, but this man is a professional journalist. And when you're a professional journalist, you sit in a room interviewing somebody with a tape recorder, writing down what you said. And Jonathan Merritt is giving direct quotes of what Eugene Peterson is saying, which is patently unbiblical, that he would perform a gay marriage. That's not saying, I mean, you could even say, well, you know, gay marriage is not a thing in the Bible, but if the government wants to create this and do that, they can do it. I don't support it, and I wouldn't be a part of it, but that's the government's thing. I mean, you could even be, like, kind of, you know, stepping out of it and letting it be a secular thing. He wouldn't even, you know, it's not even that. He's like, I would perform it. Not only would I think it's okay, but I would perform it. And to back up his statement, he says that homosexuals, practicing homosexuals who are in sodomite relationships, like, he has homosexual friends. So he has these two sodomites, and one guy sodomized the other the night before. So he meets them for lunch the next day. Hey, guys, how's your spiritual life going? Hey, Bob, you look kind of uncomfortable. You're sitting funny. Are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine, Eugene. Eugene, I'm just fine. So you got guys sodomizing one another. Think about what sodomy is. You have males lusting for one another. Females trading the natural for the unnatural, lusting for one another. Just their whole life is sin. It's like, I'm going to go home to my wife today. That's an everyday part of my relationship in life, going home to my wife. She's one flesh with me. She's my whole life. I don't do anything apart from my wife. I go to work, but I'm still married to my wife. You get what I'm saying? That's when you're married. So these homosexuals are every day in a romantic relationship with another homosexual, pining after one another. What does Romans 1 say? Professing themselves to be wise, God gave them over to sinful, degrading passions. So these people are given over, degrading themselves, far from God. 1 Corinthians 5:11, I want to say. We went over that a few months ago in the Christian Commute. It says, do not even eat with people in sexual sin. Idolaters, swindlers, and people in sexual sin. So put them out of the church. Hand them over to Satan. Eugene Peterson, over against what the Bible says. They have relationships with God that is just as good as mine. But you know what? I think he's telling the truth. That's not a lie. His relationship with God must be as non-existent as the unrepentant sodomites. So, Jonathan Merritt publishes this in a reputable news source, Religion News Source, RNS. Reputable. Writes about religion. No doubt about the story. No doubt that Jonathan Merritt's lying or doing yellow journalism or exaggerating. He's not clickbaiting. This is what Eugene Peterson said. Eugene Peterson gets the call from Lifeway. Hey, Eugene, this is Lifeway. You know the guys who sell all your books? You know the guys who've sold 1 million copies of The Message for you? You know the guys. We're the guys, you know, when you get that royalty check from your book sales, we're the people selling your book. Hey, remember us? Yeah, we've been selling your book the whole time, even though you were liberal PCUSA Presbyterian and wrote The Message. We're actually making money off of that vomit book, The Message. It's basically Eugene Peterson's vomit on a page, with no respect for Scripture or God's Word. I'm not trying to personify Scripture when I say respect for Scripture. I'm saying it's God's Word, so you respect God. You know, we'll sell anything, Eugene, but hey, we read in Religion News Service that says you think gay is okay now, so we're gonna have to let you go if that's true, what we read word for word in this reputable paper. Oh, no. Yeah, I thought about that, and what I said yesterday and then supported with argument, I'm going to have to recant that. Yeah, I recant that. all of a sudden, now today, that I'm being threatened with the loss of thousands and thousands of dollars of income and getting all this bad press from the people who write and buy my books. No. Gay marriage is not biblical. I've decided that. You know, I haven't been a pastor in 25 years, so it's not like I'm marrying people. I guess if somebody asked me to marry them, I wouldn't do it. That's not biblical. No, and he goes, but, hey, I would still welcome gay people to my table. With such a man, do not even eat. If somebody says he's a Christian brother and then is in an active homosexual relationship or living with his girlfriend, for all I care, you're not even to eat with such a person. You don't treat them like somebody that you're going to give Christian fellowship with. You don't welcome them to your table. You call them to repent and hand them over to Satan. But so here's Eugene Peterson saying something just patently unbiblical. But guess what? There's nothing in the Baptist Faith and Message about, you know, Article 19, how to properly shun homosexuals. Do not ever eat with anybody who's a homosexual, an active practicing homosexual, sodomizing his boyfriend. Don't eat with him the next day if he says he's a Christian. That's what the Bible teaches, but that's not what the Baptist Faith and Message spells out. So he gets to say, oh yeah, you know, I'm inclusive, I'm friendly, you know, I'm rainbow friendly here, but still stay in Lifeway. And if that isn't blatantly obvious that the man just cares about money and not the truth, then I don't know what is. And if Lifeway keeps selling his book, they've proven that they care about money, not truth. But pretty much all their best-selling books prove that anyway. And then you know what else proves that? It proves that a large part of the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't care about truth. It cares about money, because the Southern Baptist Convention controls Lifeway. Money runs things. Bob Dylan said it well. Money doesn't talk, it swears. And Eugene Peter, I swear, no, I don't affirm gay marriage. I know all these other things I said and argued for indicate that I do, like yesterday, but no, I don't affirm it. He basically pulled the T.D. Jakes. Ring, ring, T.D. Jakes.
Oh, yeah, hello, it's T.D. Jakes.
Do you affirm the oneness Pentecostalism? Are you an anti-Trinitarian heretic? No, I believe in the Trinity. Oh, thanks, T.D. Jakes. Bye. Eugene Peterson. Yeah, I read yesterday where you affirm gay marriage and think gay people are in vital spiritual relationships. Do you affirm gay marriage? No. Today I believe the opposite of what I said yesterday. Even though I'm an 85-year-old pastor who's been a theologian and studying the Bible my whole life, yesterday I decided on something unbiblical, but now today I think I'm biblical again. Thanks. Oh, okay. Thanks, Eugene. Bye. Money, money, money. Do, 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 do. Money. That's the theme for the Million Dollar Man, in case you don't remember. So I could sit here and just think of all kind of songs about money, because that is what is driving the evangelical industrial complex. They're a slave to their god money, not to their god Yahweh, who's really God. You can't serve two masters. That's the situation with T.D. Jakes. That's the situation with Eugene Peterson. That's the situation with Lifeway. Oh, and here's the cherry on top, the icing on the cake. It didn't take Russell Moore a whole day to come out with a blog article saying, don't throw all away Eugene Peterson books yet. You know, I wouldn't give a Eugene Peterson book to a new Christian unless they buy everything that he's selling, but you should still read them. There's valuable insight in it. Why would he even come and do that? Why? I don't know why progressive Russell Moore has to take up for every progressive, but he does. The Southern Baptist Convention gives millions to progressives like Russell Moore. It's largely controlled by compromisers like Robert Jeffress and David Jeremiah and Ronnie Floyd and who's the other guy? Jack Graham, who are all over laying hands on Donald Trump, praying with prosperity heretics like Paula White. And you get to asking yourself, and this is a future episode, who are the compromisers? Those guys? or the rest of the SBC for being in friendly cooperation with them. The church, the visible church in America, is in bad shape, guys. And here's the thing. You've got to move far away from serving money. Dig down. Whether it's a numbers-obsessed church or a church that wants to sell a bunch of books or a denomination that wants to sell a bunch of books, and they're all beholden to money. And God doesn't need any money. But Eugene Peterson does. And if anybody thinks that Eugene Peterson is a truthful man, an honest and truthful man who has integrity, well then, you just can't tell the moon from the sun, I guess. It's so blatantly obvious. And he's just one example of the industrial evangelical complex. Like the Babylon Bee said, three people surprised by this. He should have been, to use a word in a different sense, he should have been shunned by Bible-believing Christians a long time ago. So why are you tweeting this guy out? Why are you reading his books? Why in the world would you ever listen to Russell Moore? And why in the world would you ever walk into Lifeway to buy the poison that they have there? Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow.